or may not have anything to do with what I'm going to talk about, okay? But I figured I got the chance, so I'm going to ask you this question. And this is a question that I was once asked in a psychology class, okay? So you can see the picture I have up here. I have no idea who those people are, but it was a high-quality photo that was labeled for reuse, so I brought it here. And my question for you is, and I like, just so you know, when I ask you guys a question, it means I'm actually looking for answers, okay? So let's just get that out of the way at the beginning. And don't be afraid, because there's no wrong answers on this. And that is, my question is, when is this relationship a success? Looking at this picture. When is this relationship a success? I'm going to give you like 30 seconds just to ponder that question. Okay? And then I want to hear your answer. Okay, when is this relationship a success? Now, this is just your answer, okay? It's not the right answer, because I'll probably tell you the right answer later. Just joking. Okay, so what do you think? When the kid moves out. Every moment? Okay, okay. Conception? Okay. Anybody else? When they come to have their needs met, okay. When the child knows it's loved. Anybody else? Before conception. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. When mom first used scope in the morning. Jeremy, were you going to say something?
Yeah, right now.
Okay. Okay, you know, when I was in a psychology class one time, and I was asked this question, and it kind of set me out on a journey of thinking about this. You know, I'm thinking, oh, how do I determine my life's success? Or what am I founding my life on to know? Am I succeeding? Am I failing? You know, am I become who my parents wanted me to be? And, you know, I got to say, I was just thinking about this. I thought about the new year and thought, you know, what are the different kinds of things I've tried to do to be successful in my life? Or what are the different things that I've founded my life on? Because, you know, when you start the new year, then you start asking yourself, what am I going to do this year, right? Because nobody sets out for the new year and is like, I hope I don't succeed this year. You know, everything that we think or do for the new year is something to project us into whatever success that we want to have, right? To be who we really want to be and all these things. And I was thinking back to when I was a teenager. Some people here would have known me back then, okay? So the big thing that, or the center of my life when I was growing up and when I was a teenager, and probably into my very early 20s, the very center of who I was to me a person that wanted to be good looking, okay? Now, you may laugh at this, but I guarantee you some of you have either been in this boat or are in this boat, okay? I mean, it's obvious with that mustache, Cam's in this boat, okay? So you know, you got to ask yourself this thing is, you know, what are you working towards? And at this time for me, that's what I was working towards, would be to be good looking. Now, this is, my wife met me at this time, okay? Which shows that I was successful, all right? But what I did was I worked out a lot of that time. I also bleached my hair, because that was the time when hair bleaching was cool, right? And I loved the way it looked when it was dark and blonde at the same time. And also, like, yeah, some of you don't know this, but I'm legally blind in my left eye. I was born that way. And when I was really young, I'd wear glasses, and I looked like a nerd, you know? And I had an eye patch at one time, and that, I mean, I was too young to care about anything anyway at that time. But as I grew up, I got rid of the eye patch, I got rid of the glasses, and I wore blue contacts at the time as well. So I had blue contacts, I had bleached hair, and try to put on as much muscle mass as I possibly could. And I thought things were going really well for me, okay? Because there was this one time I worked at this resort, and I had reached the high status of, I was lifting weights this one time, and this one waitress at the resort that I was worked at and I was working out in, she came to talk to me, right? Which I took as code for she's watching me work out, okay? So I'm in there, and I'm lifting these weights, and I thought, this girl's watching me. I better lift as much as I possibly can. And I was doing deadlifts, and I don't know if any of you know what deadlifts are, but they're a pretty advanced exercise, okay? And so I loaded this thing up with the most weight I had ever done, two times over, and I lifted it, And I felt so strong and awesome. And then my back just went. And it did all sorts of weird things that backs aren't supposed to do. Now, fast forward 10 years later, okay, when I can barely tie my shoes by myself. A lot of times Jen has to tie them. I have a hard time sitting down for periods of time. Sometimes I'd go to get out of my car and turn, and my back would just pop out, and I wouldn't be able to walk for a week. Things like this. And, you know, and I still wondered, though, at times, have I been successful enough to be good-looking? And this is really the evaluation of it, okay? This is what it comes down to. Me and Jen had just started this job here, so this is a few years ago now. And one of the young adult girls is in my office with Jen. And she's looking around at the pictures, these old pictures of me when I'm in Thailand, okay? And I was there with Justin Pio. It was a great time. And she's looking at these things, and she says to Jen, she says, look, hey, Ryan, he used to be good-looking. And then she looks at another one and she says, Ryan used to have a six-pack. And then she turns to Jen, and I kid you not, okay, you can ask Jen about this later. In all seriousness, this is what she says to her. She says, does it make you sad to know what Ryan used to look like and what he looks like now? So right from there, I set out planting a new foundation for success in my life. That really happened. That was a good time. So the reason why I say that is because, as I say, when you set out in the new year, and these are things I've really been thinking about, as you set out in the new year, you want to set out with hope and with dreams to look forward to what the future is going to hold for you. And as I said, there's no one who looks into the new year and thinks, I hope that this is a worse year than last year. And I really hope I don't succeed, right? Everyone wants to succeed. And that's where we come up with this idea of New Year's resolutions, okay? So how many people are coming up with resolutions for this year? How many people get into this thing? You guys are non-participants, most of you, okay? Have you ever tried this in the past? I think most people did it like 10 years ago, and then it never did anything for them, so they gave up, okay? But some of these people have succeeded, and so they're still trying again. And so I looked up, what does it mean, you know, to have a resolution, or what's a resolution? I'm all about defining words, right? So I look it up, and it says, a resolution is defined as a firm decision to do or not to do something. Its synonyms are intention, decision, intent, aim, or plan. So there's many ways you can start off your new year. And there's countless ways that we can all resolve or have resolutions to either do or not do something. There's something that will hopefully make us more successful as we head into the great beyond that is 2017. But today, what I want to do is I want to offer you one way that I see that you can be sure that your life in the new year will be built on an absolutely flawless an unbreakable foundation. And I'm going to offer it to you as a prayer that I will honestly be praying this for you throughout the new year. And this is the prayer that I'm going to be praying for myself. Okay? And it goes like this. And when, can you just switch it over for me? We'll see if it shows up. Okay. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, when the Apostle Paul thought about growth, when he thought about how to firmly establish yourself for the future, And when he thought about this for the people and the congregations and the communities that he deeply cared about, when he thought about what his communities would have to do and resolve to do in order to thrive, there was only one completely firm and truly solid answer. They would have to resolve to build their lives on the infinite and unsurpassable love of God. Now, that's my big heading, okay? I'm going to break this down into four different bits, okay, that are all going to amount to that. But I'm breaking it down into four bits for you. Not three, because I got it wrong, okay, but four. So four things I'm going to tell you that you could resolve to do and to believe into this year. Four things that will give you an unbreakable foundation. Number one, Paul says that whoever our family is, no matter what your family of origin, no matter what family you're part of, whether it's good or bad or difficult or easy or any of those things, that we can be sure of one thing. We can be sure that the family we're part of has been named by God. So then, you can be sure, you can be absolutely certain that wherever your family finds itself right now coming into this new year, that whether these are the best of times or the worst of times for you, that your family is named by God. God's given your family a name. And that name, so it seems to me, and it's going to come out in the context of this passage, I think that name is loved by God. You see, there is really no family on the planet, not a single one, that has not been named the beloved of God. Because as Paul says, and you can see it here, I'm leaving this up here, okay, so you can look right at it. He says, because every single family, every family in heaven, every family on earth derives its name from God the Father. I think that's good news for families. You see, the truth is this. I can tell you that, and I can say that your family is named, but I can guarantee you that not every one of us will establish our lives upon this truth. And not every one of us is going to declare this truth over our families. But for those of us who resolve to believe this, for those of us who make a firm decision to believe this for ourselves and our loved ones, we can be sure, we can be certain that we are building our lives upon a solid foundation. You see, I'm making a resolution this year to believe that my family is a family named as loved by God. And I'm going to found this year upon it. The second thing is that Paul says that God desires to be present in each and every family in heaven and on earth, and that he desires to be personally present with you. He says that God is rich, that God is abundant, that God is overflowing, that God is bursting with power, and that is with the kind of power that is ready, with the kind of power that is able, the kind of power that is able to flood our hearts and get right down into our inner being, so much so that Christ, who is God himself, can take up his presence and location at the very center, at the very center of who we are as individuals and who we are in our families. So it's not only that we are named by God, it's not only that we are beloved of God. We are the place where God wants to make his presence known, where he wants to make his presence experienced in deep and profound ways. And you know, but the truth is, not every one of us will establish our lives upon this. And not every one of us is going to declare this over ourselves and our families. But for those of us who resolve to believe this, for those of us who make a firm decision to believe this for ourselves and our loved ones, we can be absolutely certain that we are building our new year on a solid foundation. You see, I'm making a resolution this year to believe that God's mighty power to change hearts is available to me and my family. And I am going to call on God to make His very presence the center of my life and the life of my family. And I'm going to found my year upon it. The third thing, Paul says that as we begin to grasp a hold of these realities, that as we resolve to make it our aim to hold steadfast to these realities, that our lives then will be rooted and established in the infinite love of God. This is something that basically I am always working on, and it's something that I'm always trying to drive home, and it is something that I think just has to get a hold of you today and the first day of your year. Something that needs to grab a hold of you before you leave this place. And if this thing does not grab a hold of you, then you need to stay afterward, as far as I'm concerned, and you need to ask somebody to pray for you. Okay? Somebody that you can just say, listen, just I don't know why it's not grabbing a hold of me. Okay? But I need someone to pray until it does and drive it down. And maybe there's somebody that you just need to talk to, somebody that you're close with, that you're going to say, listen, can you just talk to me about this? Because for some reason it's not breaking through. And when you say things, it matters to me. So let's have a conversation about this. And what needs to break through, what absolutely has to break through to every one of us, is that we are infinitely loved. As people and families named as the beloved of God, people who are given the very presence of God as our gift and our possession, we must come to know as Christian people that God loves us. If you look at 1 John, one of my favorite parts of 1 John is John says, you know, if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, which is the basic Christian confession, then he says this next thing. He says, then you have come to know and to believe the love that God has for you. If you have not come to know and believe the love that God has for you, then in some strange way, you have not really become a Christian. Okay? I can't say that too strongly. Okay? I want to really let you know this. And so I'm saying, don't leave here today being half a Christian. Okay? If you need to sit down and pray with somebody or talk with somebody to drive the infinite love of God into your heart, then for heaven's sake, let's do it. Okay? Let's do it. If you have imagined, let's say you're here today and you've imagined that God is holding your sins against you. Okay? You're a Christian person and you're imagining that God's holding your sins against you. Or if you've imagined that God is angry with you. Or if you've imagined that God is disappointed in you. Or that there's something that you've done or not done that or something that has been done to you that would make you think that God doesn't want you. I want you to know today the simple fact, and that is this. You're wrong. You would be wrong then, okay? Because you are loved. You are actually passionately loved. And if love's not a word that means anything to you anymore, then you can go with this. God actually likes you. Okay? You might say this. He delights in being around you. Okay? He actually enjoys your presence. You are so loved that not only does God call you beloved, not only does He want to make His home in the very center of who you are, but He wants His love to be the root of all of your growth. He wants all those nutrients that grow you and develop you to be found in His love for you. He wants the foundation of your life to be completely unbreakable, to be completely unshakable, then that is only found in His infinite love. Often I'll talk to Christian people, then they say this to me, like, oh, it doesn't matter what it is, okay? It's in the various things of life. And people say to me, you know what, Ryan? I'm just afraid to set out on this new venture in my life. I'm afraid to do this or to take this new job, you know, to start this new career path in that sense, to reach out to forgive this person, whatever it is that you're afraid of to set out on that journey. And the biggest thing is people say, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to fail. I think that's why we don't do resolutions most of the time, right? I'm afraid that if I do this thing, I'm going to fail. And each time I think about this passage and I lead people back there, and then I just let people know, listen. We, as God's beloved children, the people whom God wants to make His presence the very center of our lives, the people who God actually enjoys, we of all people, okay, Christian people, we of all people, we can take risks. When the very center of the God that you worship is mercy, it means that you have actual opportunities to fail sometimes. Okay? Because God's going to be there for you as you grow. Because I don't know, personally, I don't know the person who grows without trying anything. Without taking a risk. I think we can go all out in our lives, okay? And this is what I'm saying for this new year. We can go all out in our lives. Or the image I like to give is if God's love is our foundation, we can build our towers high. Okay, you can build as high as you want. Why? Because you know, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the furthest you can ever fall, the furthest you can ever fall down from your high building will be to fall flat at the rock bottom of your life. Okay? But knowing that the rock bottom of your life, because you know Jesus and because you're a Christian, is that it will forever and always, every single time, the rock bottom will be the infinite love of God. That's the furthest you can ever fall. So I say, try some stuff in the new year, right? I'm not talking about marijuana or something like that, okay? You understand what I'm saying here. Sometimes they say, you know what, the teacher teaches in moderation, the student learns to excess. So, Rob, I'm looking at you, man. You gotta, you know? So that's what I'm saying, right? We don't need to fear trying out in our lives to say, you know, I'm going to try out this new career path or something like, God, I want to be a better forgiver. God, grow me in compassion. All of these things, right? Without being afraid to fail. All you can ever do is fall down to your foundation. Make that foundation the love of God. So I want to ask you, have you really grasped the size of God's love for you and your family? You see, some of us, even in our lives, even now, even though others might not know it, some of us have run, right? And we run with all of our might, thinking that somehow I'm going to run to the end of God's love for me. You know, and some of us think we've run that far. And we say, well, surely His love can't catch up to me now because look at how far away I am. And we've run so far in our lives. Or some of you have kids, right? Some of you have kids or best friends or loved ones or something like that, and you think they've run so far. And they've run and run and run with all their might, thinking that God's love is going to find its end. But Paul says, and you can read it up here, okay, that no one's ever going to reach the end of the length or width of God's love. Okay? You can't outrun it. You cannot outrun it. It's impossible. You see, some of you are soaring on the heights, and you're thinking that life can't get any better than it is right now. And it feels like every single good thing has come your way. And I assure you, there is actually people that had a good 2016, despite what the news says. Okay? And people that are thinking it's so good. But the thing that creeps into you when everything's going so good is you think, what's going to go wrong now? Right? And surely now I'm going to fall down. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that you, in all of the good things that have happened to you, you have not yet reached the height of the good things that God has in store for you. Because even as good things come our way, and joy comes our way, and it floods in, we will never reach the height of God's love for us. You can't go too high for it, where suddenly He has to bring you back down to reality, okay? So for some of you, good things have happened. And I just want to say to you, just anticipate that more good things are going to happen. There's nothing wrong with that. Because you cannot outclimb His love. You'll never reach the end of the heights of God's love. Then there's some of you who are in the depths. Okay, some of you who are in the depths yourself, or your family is in the depths. And you know, when you're in the depths, things get so dark, and you are so deep down, that you can begin to think that God's love can't possibly reach that low. But I want to say, praise God, that His love has infinite depth. Because no matter how low things have gotten, no matter how deep down in the pit you might go, you will never reach the end of the depths of God's love. Because His love has no bottom. See, you can run with all your might, you can climb with all your might, you can dive down with all your might, but you will never, ever reach the end of God's love for you or your family. So great is the love of God that Paul can say, he says this, he says, it surpasses knowledge. And many of us have lived our lives with this quote-unquote knowledge of God's love. People often say to me, yeah, I know that God loves me. But the truth is this, I don't want you to know that God loves you. I want you to breathe that God loves you. I want you to speak that God loves you. I want you to experience that God loves you. I want you to swim in an ocean of God's love for you. I want you to take in so much of God's love for you that, along with Paul, you can say that you've been completely filled with the fullness of God. Okay? Now, just listen to this. Think of that statement for a second. Okay? Again, I put this up here so you can read it here. To grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Why? So that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, for a moment, I'm going to logic you on this, okay? But do you hear the logic of that statement? Do you hear the logic of that statement? Paul is saying this. It's simple. He says, to the extent that we allow God's love into our lives, this is the extent to which we allow God into our lives. Okay? Do you see what it says there? Right? To know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let me say that again. To the extent in which you let in and embrace God's love is the same extent into which you embrace or allow in God's own self. This is what I'm saying. God's love, and experiencing this and knowing it and being filled with it, it is not an optional secondary in the Christian life. It's the very center of God's life. You see, we are loved by God. His love is actually given to us without limit. The only question is how much of that love are we going to take in? You see, we really can run wild knowing that there's no end to the length of God's love. We really can soar on the heights knowing that there's no end to its height. We really can dive deep and plunge into it with all our heart, knowing that there's no end to its depth. We are loved by God. We are. You are. Your family is. But the truth is, as all the rest, not every one of us will establish our lives upon this. And not every one of us will declare it over ourselves and over our families. But for those of us who resolve to believe this, for those of us who make a firm decision to believe this for ourselves and for our loved ones, we can be sure that we are building on a solid foundation. You see, I'm making a resolution this year to actually believe that God's love has no limits, and that I can run free, and that I can dream big, and that I can be unafraid to fail. knowing that the furthest I could fall this year, the furthest I could possibly fall in 2017, is onto the foundation that is every single bit of God's infinite love. And I'm going to found my year on it. And fourth and lastly, I want to say this to you. Paul says this last thing. He says that God can do more than we ever thought to ask, more than we could possibly imagine, and that he does this through the power that is already at work within us. You might want to note that word, already at work within us. The last thing that I've resolved to do as I thought about it is to believe in this church, to believe in each and every one of you, okay? Because what a church is not an institution, right? A church is not the building or, you know, Church of Christ, the one with the pigeons on top, okay? What church is this community, the people here, okay? And I have resolved to believe in you because Paul says, because I don't think that it's never changed, right? Paul says that there is a power at work in this place, in this big family that God has given me, that God has given you. And this power is waiting and ready to do more than we have thought to ask or imagined. And more I hear people, maybe it's my age group or something like that, and the people younger than me, right? And people talking about this idea that we need to start giving up on church. You know, things don't happen at church. We need to do this, we need to do that, blah, 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 church. Okay? And they say, you know what, I think that we need to give up on all of us meeting together, you know, as a congregation in a big group because nothing extravagantly amazing happens here. And that somehow, we'd be better off on our own. And I'll tell you what, this year, I'm not going to believe them. Okay? I'm going to take a stand this year to believe, to actually believe that each and every one of you who are my brothers and sisters, that God is alive and well in the very center of your life. And that's going to cause me to look forward with longing and expectation over the wonders that he's going to do through you and through your lives. You see, is it too much? Is it honestly too much to think that God is here in the Grand Prairie Church of Christ in his power and love? I don't think it is. In fact, I'm banking on the opposite. Okay? I think God really is here. But the truth is this. Okay? Because each one of these things is an open invitation to you. Okay? I can't make you believe it. I have to decide for myself if I'm going to believe it. Because not every one of us will establish our lives upon this. And not every one of us will declare it to be true over ourselves and over this family. But for those of us who resolve to believe this, for those of us who make a firm decision to believe this for ourselves and to make this place our loved ones, we can be sure that we are building on a solid foundation. You see, I'm making a New Year's resolution to believe that God is present and that God is powerful in each and every one of you. And that truly, truly, then, God can and will do more than what I've asked for in each and every one of your lives, and more than what I have believed will happen through each and every one of your lives. And that these things will happen in this real place, in Grand Prairie Church of Christ in 2017. And so despite what I have read on the news where everyone says, well, this year is going to suck as bad as the last one, you know? And, oh, 2016, we couldn't get you out of the way fast enough. That wasn't my experience, okay? That wasn't my experience. And I am looking for so much more in 2017. And my hope for you and my prayer for you as a church, and that means each and every one of you as people, is that 2017 will be the year that you look back on in your real life and say, you know what? I remember that year because that year was the year when I made God's love the bedrock, sure, bottom foundation of my life. And it was the year where God went beyond anything I asked for or anything I ever imagined. That is my prayer for you and for me this year. Amen. I just want to say a quick prayer, you know, within my prayer here. God, you know, the world has really lost hope for the future here. Different political things happening, depending on what side we're on. Different things in the U.S., different things in Alberta. Carbon tax, for heaven's sake. All these different things that make us doubt what's going to happen. What is going to happen this year? And God, you know each and every one of us has our own unique circumstance that is way bigger and above and beyond all of that, that we're dealing with ourselves. But God, I pray, I really do pray, God. God, I just want to pray that you would be the God of your word. That we would take you at your word. That we could look forward with hope and longing, come what may. That you would be the God who does more than we ever asked or imagined. It is hard to believe this. Enlarge our hearts, God, because we're going to need a lot of your love. Fill us with your very self. God, you've always been faithful to your promises. We look forward to what you will do in this place with these real people and in this awesome family. I thank you for them. May we be your beloved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.